Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End. Thank you very much for listening. If you have done to the Match Reaction podcast, sometimes we're going to do that, I think. We might do a podcast where we just meet up, we react to the game. We don't try and do too much overreacting, but we just talk ourselves through it all, as basically that's what we've done for 15 years almost here on From the Rookery End. My name's John. With me this evening is Mike.
A very good evening to you, John Mooney. How are you?
Oh, I'm chipper. Now, you sound a lot more chipper than you did on Saturday. But I want to go past that a bit, Michael, because you are a very chipper person. There's just those moments and minutes after a Watford match where you're not quite yourself sometimes. But you are a very, very positive person. You just look things slightly more... I've had this question in my head for years. You're not negative. And I don't think you're... it's just... pragmatic just seems a bit too much thoughtful, because you are just the way you react is the way that you react. I think we should just leave it at that. But we did a bit actually on Saturday, and it just wasn't working. We didn't quite think we had the balance of it, because it's a very important thing, and it's the club finances.
Well, do you know what it is, John? We gave it a go, but one of the good things about getting older is that as you get older, you realise that you know someone. If you know someone that needs to fix a U-bend in the toilet, you probably know someone. If you know someone that needs a little bit of advice about your car, you know someone. If you need to talk to someone to talk about football accounts, we know someone.
We do.
And I think what we realised is that instead of us trying to sort of bulldoze our way through what is quite a, not complicated, but something that needs someone to really tease out the important bits and put a little bit of... explain it in layman's terms, the man, of course, is the price of football's Kieran Maguire. So we started trying to do it, didn't we? And we thought, come on, we can do better than this. We know someone.
Yeah, there's lots of nuance and niche, I suppose, in a subject such as finance. We all have finance, of course, in our lives, but it's different. It is sort of, I think, in some ways, as an analogy, it's like watching... my finance is like watching an under-8s. And then the accounts of Watford is like watching a Premier League side play football. The difference is huge, and we needed a bit of guidance on it. So I set you the task of speaking to Mr. Kieran Maguire. Now, Kieran has been on the podcast before, and if you don't know, he's a British academic. He's an author and broadcaster. Most of you will know his podcast, hopefully. If you haven't, do go and find it, especially if you do like this sort of business side of football. It's called The Price of Football. And from that, he's on a podcast with Kevin Day, who many of you know is a Crystal Palace fan and writes lots of comedy stuff for Match of the Day and what have you. But they do I think it's out twice a week. But it's a great podcast just to sort of get an idea about the finance of football at the top, at the bottom, and somewhere in between. And I set you a task. I think I wasn't the person to talk about it with you, Michael, but I think Kieran is. So today you had a chat with him, and I think, of course, he's a Brighton fan. You started by asking him about how's that for him at the moment.
I'm coping as well as you can, having suffered a 96-minute defeat at the new Spurs Stadium on Saturday. So, yeah, as always, the first 24 hours is the toughest. Slowly get to realise, after much nagging from the wife, that there is, in fact, more to life than football.
Well, I was going to offer my commiserations, Kieran, and then I realised you have got João Pedro. Now, how much extra do you think we should be invoicing Tony Bloom for, having seen him for half a season?
Well, unfortunately, I suspect we're only going to see him for half a season because he was injured. He's done his hamstring, and with hammies, he could be out for 3 or 4 weeks, or could be out for a couple of months. When he leaves us this summer, you'll be getting a little bit extra.
So you think he'll leave in the summer?
If he had avoided injury and he continues to play the way that he did, I think he would have certainly gone in the summer. If he's injured and misses most of the rest of the season, then that could be a way of keeping him for another 12 months. But, yeah, he's destined for bigger and better things than Brighton.
Yeah, so I think that negates the need for me to ask you what Brighton fans have made for him. I think he was the one player that Watford fans have been lucky enough to see in action. And I know people talk about what's a player's ceiling. And we all said that João Pedro has probably got the highest ceiling, if he's even got a ceiling, of any player we've potentially seen at Watford since, I don't know, maybe John Barnes. And it sounds like you, as Brighton fans, you go along with that.
Yes, he scored 18 goals, half of them have been penalties, but he's tended to win the vast majority of those penalties himself. It's his unpredictable. Yeah, we don't play him as a centre forward. We play him as sort of either a number 10 or wide on the left.
So I think we're agreed. João Pedro, quite the performer. We'll both be watching with interest to see what he goes on to go and achieve in the game. But Kieran, obviously the reason we've got you on the podcast is that the latest set of accounts have been published by Watford. And for us layman journeymen, it's difficult to make sense of them. So that's why we're incredibly grateful for you giving up your time to come on and try and help us. Just overall, before we delve a little bit deeper, what's your overall feeling about those accounts? Would you be worried for Watford?
I wouldn't be worried. My concern would be that had it not been for the sale of João Pedro just before the end of the financial year, had it not been for the sale of a couple of players by all accounts to Udinese over the course of the season on terms which the other club isn't pushing back very far, shall we say, then the club would have been losing £500,000 a week. So the reported profit looks fantastic by Premier League, by Championship standards, you know, to report a profit of £24 million. But that is almost that is more than driven by player sales, which brought in £59 million worth of profit. The club, I think, did well to acclimatise to life in the Championship. The parachute payments did what they were supposed to do, which meant that you could get rid of some of the talent. You could have players on wages which are still high by the standards of, you know, a standard job, still high by Championship standards, but you wouldn't have been able to attract players in the in the Premier League in 21-22 if you'd said to them, oh, by the way, guys, if you're in a team that gets relegated, you're going to have to give an 80-85% pay cut. So I think they look reasonable. There has been a bit of reinvestment into the squad looking at these numbers. The level of debt isn't great, but it's mainly due to the family, or you know, the family companies rather than external parties. Mm. So yeah, it's as you would expect them to be.
Okay.
For a club of Watford stature.
We'll dig into that a little bit after we've just gone through in your amazing threads. These are always great, and I would recommend anyone to check out Kieran's threads on accounts. They always are broken down into really accessible, understandable chunks. But your first tweet on the thread, Kieran, sort of gives us headline figures. I'm just going to run through those, and if you could give me perhaps like a one word response to each of those, so it just gives us a sort of a really easy to understand assessment of these figures. The first one, income, 66 million, which is down 48%.
Price of relegation.
Wages, 49 million, down 38%.
In line with expectations. Sure. You've lost some players, others have got relegation clauses.
So that makes sense. So the EBIT loss is probably the first one that people might struggle to understand. That's 27 million, which is up 105%. I'll give you a little bit more latitude on how many words you can use here, Kieran, to explain what EBIT is to start with.
What I try to do is to say, how much is the club making in terms of profit or having to suffer in terms of losses if you ignore player sales? Because player sales are very volatile, they're very erratic. Therefore, how much is the club making on a day-to-day basis? So Watford are losing £500,000 a week on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Not great, but in line with the rest of the Championship.
Perfect, that makes sense. Profits from player sales were £59 million, which is up a whopping 286%.
This is the Watford model. In the year the club gets relegated, it sells players at a big profit. If we go back to 2021, made a profit of £56 million, here a profit of £59 million. When they get to the Premier League, they try to either A, recruit, and B, to hold on to the vast majority of the squad. So they use player sales as a counterbalance for relegation.
On the flip side of that, player purchases 11 million. And I do want to expand on this one a little bit, because the last time we had you on, Kieran, you mentioned when Watford did get promoted to the Premier League, they were investing what looked like, with one eye on being relegated already, the amount they invested into the team was tantamount to waving a white flag, saying we can't invest enough to stay up, so we're going to invest the bare minimum. 11 million investment into, with an eye on the Championship. How should we be feeling as that as supporters? Are there any red flags or markers there?
Top half of the Championship by far. Mm-hmm. We've seen many clubs in the Championship go down the route of battening down the hatches, acclimatising to life in a much fiercer FFP environment, and therefore relying on loan signings, Bosmans and so on. So the fact that it is double digits is good. As you rightly said, the club appeared to have an air shot in 21-22 and budget for relegation, and anything above that was being treated as a bonus, which I have seen before from other clubs. You know, Burnley have done it on one or two occasions, but clearly from a fan's point of view, you're going to be disappointed.
Player sales, 76 million. That's covered off by the profits. We know who went. There's a big, nice, juicy João Pedro hole in those player sales. Net borrowings in the year, Kieran. This is probably something that will be of interest to Watford supporters. 24 million.
Yes, the club was quite active. It borrowed £55 million mainly from the owners, but it paid back 30. It does seem to have sort of a very active relationship in terms of the way it funds the club. And the fact that it had to borrow money overall, I think, is indicative of the challenges of being in the second division. Now, people might say, well, hold on. You know, we did sell all of those players during the season, but those players were sold on credit and the players coming in were being bought on credit. So the João Pedro fee, because that went through in June 2023, Brighton will have paid probably in three instalments. They'll pay, you know, one third as a deposit and there'll be two more instalments. Effectively two more IOUs from Tony Bloom, dated in 12 months time, in 24 months time, which has meant that the club, whilst it's had a lot of player sales, they've not turned into cash, and therefore it's had to go to the owners and borrow.
So I'm not hearing much worry and concern in your voice, Kieran, which on one hand is good. I think potentially part of that is just you're so used to these huge figures and knowing what comes in and what comes out and what's required to keep a football club running, and you know what the benchmarks are. And I think there is a lot of encouragement for us as Watford supporters to note that we're kind of on a par with other Championship clubs in terms of the loss, and the investment is actually on the higher side. One note in the accounts is that the highest paid director earns £948,000 a year. It may or may not have been that highest paid director, Kieran, that said at a public forum, there was a meeting with the chairman and the owner, Gino Pozzo, at the start of the season. And there was an undertaking there, a phrase that I'm sure everyone listening will be screaming at me to ask you about it. They said the club is going to be debt free by the end of the year. Now, I suspect you can twist and turn that phrase in a number of different ways. But looking at the accounts now, Kieran, is there any way that Watford could be, under any description, debt free by the end of the year, this coming year?
A lot depends on how you define debt. If the money is owed to the owners, they can say, well, it's the equivalent of the bank of mum and dad, so it's not debt as such. If the club is to be sold to another party, and you know, we've all heard stories about potential investors coming in, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to say what I've seen in respect of that, then you can bet your bottom dollar that those borrowings would cease to be the bank of mum and dad. And if there was a full sale, and I don't think there was going to be a full sale, by the way, then the Pozzo family would say, we would want all of that money back. Yeah. So I think there's a little bit of dancing around and being relaxed in terms of the terminology But at the same time, if it's coming from the owners, it's more likely to be interest-free, and therefore that's something which is more beneficial. If you take a look at what happened with West Ham and David Gold and David Sullivan, they regularly go to the media and say, we put all of this money into the club, we've never taken a penny out in dividends, we've never taken a penny out in salary, we're the good guys in football. Perhaps it just slipped their memory, but they charged £45 million in interest on those loans.
Right. So you mentioned takeover there, and I appreciate there's very little you can say in terms of detail in that, Kieran, but Watford supporters, a lot of them are ready for a takeover. It feels like the Pozzo sort of project is struggling. The money coming in doesn't, you know, the investments in transfer windows are bottoming out, and it feels like potentially reaching the end of the road when it comes to Gino Pozzo and his ownership of Watford. For a full takeover to take place, correct me if I'm wrong, the bare minimum that would have to happen is, as you mentioned there, that I think it's £56 million that's currently owed, or certainly in these accounts, to the owner, to the parent company, which is in effect, I guess, the Pozzo family in one shape or other. So they would have to pay, any takeover would have to more than likely pay off that debt, which is £56 million at the time of these accounts. So that would be the base purchase price for the football club. You'd assume that the owner would want more on top of that because there have been other investments in infrastructure and so on and so forth. And similarly, any owner would have to pay that price and be willing to take on a business that is in effect losing £500,000 a week. Is that fair as a profile of the person that would need, or the company or fund that would need to take over Watford if it was to be a full takeover?
Yes, it's somebody who's going to have to be quite brave. If I was on the sales side of the deal, I would be marketing Watford as a London football club, which is very attractive to investors, especially international investors. I would be talking about the heritage, it has its time in the Premier League, and so on. And then we'd have to start talking prices. What are the benefits? Well, this is season number two in respect of parachute payments. So Watford generated £48 million last year from broadcast income. That's going to fall by probably £8 to £10 million this year. And next season, it's going to halve again before you finally end up with that £48 million being worth about £8 million. It could be more, assuming that the Premier League gets its act together and makes a fair offer to the EFL in terms of the redistribution of finances. You'd have to take that into consideration. When you're looking to acquire a business, ultimately, if you're trying to run it as a business, you look at what it's going to generate going forwards. And if we take a look at Watford, you know, in the good years when the club was in the Premier League, it still never made more than £10 million from ticket sales. You've got Manchester United making 130, you've got Spurs making 120, you've got Arsenal making, in a Champions League season, probably in around about 110. Liverpool just expanded their stadium. So how does Watford compete? Not with those big six clubs, yeah, we all know where we are in the pecking order, but with the sort of the middle class of the Premier League, because more and more clubs are expanding their facilities. Or does Watford have to acknowledge that it's going to join the group of yo-yo clubs who, you know, are getting relegated on a regular basis, trying to sneak in via the playoffs? And that can be, it's a good year if you're in the Championship when that's taking place. It's a bad year, as I think you all experienced in 21-22, when, you know, I'm not putting words in your mouth, you must have been thinking from January onwards, just get this over.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't sign up to be a football fan with that lack of ambition. So I think that would be the challenge from a new owner's point of view. What can they do to invest in Watford? A, to secure a price which is acceptable to the Pozzo family, and B, to take Watford to the next step in trying to be another club that's, as much as I hate to say, another club like Palace, that's been in the Premier League for a decade or more and is, pottering around perhaps a couple of places higher than Watford have averaged in recent years.
I'd be interested to... We view our role as critical friends, Kieran, of the football club. We're very engaged supporters who try and look at things in a balanced way and try to keep an eye on things that might be coming down the road so that we can be, on top of it as supporters. We're, pardon the pun, invested heavily in the football club and therefore want it to be safe and safeguarded for us and future generations. And I really like the way that this is a calm and sensible conversation about the finances. But I can't help be really, really concerned about the levels of figures that we're talking about. So the one that strikes me is the £500,000 a week loss, which is currently mitigated and manageable through a mixture of parachute payments and player sales. So as far as I can tell, that loss isn't probably going to change a great deal over the coming years. Wages will probably come down exponentially with the quality of player and so on and so forth. But that is a large amount of money leaving the football club. The level of player that we have to sell, we talked about João Pedro at the start, there aren't many of them knocking around in the first place. There certainly aren't many of them in the back of the cupboard at Vicarage Road. I think we're probably looking at Yasser Espria. We'll get some money for Imran Lusa. Perhaps Ryan Andrews is another young one. So we might be able to raise some funds this summer that will again help to mitigate that massive weekly loss. And I appreciate you say that is kind of commonplace for a Championship football club. But with an owner that potentially is wanting to get out, isn't investing as much as he previously was, how sustainable is that? And should we be looking at perhaps the year after next as a crossroads, really? Because if you haven't got parachute payments, if you haven't got the players that are worth tens of millions of pounds to plug that gap, what is there? And as an owner, how does that impact your desire to sell? Does it speed it up? Does it change the approach in any way?
It depends what the owner wants to get out of that relationship with the football club. What we see in the Championship is that you've got owners at clubs such as Preston North End, Bristol City, Millwall, where they say, I've got, as well as a financial investment in this football club, I've got an emotional investment in one way, shape or form, and I'm prepared to lose £1 million, £1.5 million a month as part of the fun that comes along with owning a football club. And you might be saying to yourself, well, hold on, that can't be true, because there is no fun owning a football club. if we go three matches without a win, I've got fans abusing me on social media, I've got people honking their horns at me when I leave the ground. Yeah, and lobbing tennis balls on the pitch, left, right and centre. It is a strange one, but I think that the issue for Watford, and you don't have an endless stream of talent which you can flog off to the Premier League. Just as it is exactly the same for all clubs. I appreciate sort of the Udinese link historically has probably assisted Watford in essentially being able to get players from Udinese who then got on be sold elsewhere, but I don't think that continue for too long if you're a longer term Championship club. And then what you've got to do is to say, okay, what is our identity? Because no disrespect to Watford, but if you take a look at the Championship at present, you've got Leeds United at capacity of 40,000, and we've got Leicester City who are going to expand their ground, they're going up to 40,000. You've got Sunderland, you've got Southampton, all of whom have got fan bases which are filling bigger stadiums. And do you therefore have to say, we've had a great time in the Premier League, we now have to reassess our ambitions as football club fans, and our ambitions we know are limitless ultimately. And say, does that mean in 3 or 4 years' time, we have to accept we are another Preston North End, Bristol City. Well,
I guess my question actually is there a threat to us even being that with the level of, with the finances the way they are? I mean, personally, I've been around the block, I've seen Watford here, there and everywhere, and it feels like 30th in the pyramid is pretty much where Watford should be aiming to be. It just feels like you've talked about crowds and stadiums. I saw you tweeted today about the value per fan that the EPL got as well, which was interesting. Watford coming in bottom in that year, £16 per fan. Spurs top was £71 per fan. So that shows what the cash generation sort of possibility is, as ground is very rarely full. So is there anything in these accounts, Kieran, or looking down the line a little bit, and I appreciate you haven't got a crystal ball in your industry, you don't deal in projections past what you can see, but is there a danger that we couldn't even be, I'm picking on Preston a little bit here, but would 12th in the Championship, if that was our aim, with losses of £500,000 a week there or thereabouts, and without the players to fill that, is there a long-term sustainability issue?
I think what you would have to do is to reduce that level of loss. And looking at these numbers, I see cost areas which can be significantly reduced.
Sure.
So it then comes down to an acceptable level. And I know this is the equivalent of Harry Potter talking about Voldemort. But yeah, there's another club not too far away,
yep,
who have done it on a very low budget. So, you know, and that could have been Coventry in May as well.
Yeah, sure.
So there were, again, two clubs who have come from modest surroundings who have managed to get to the Premier League. I think what you'll have to do is to work on being smarter. Everybody says, you know, what are the magic beans that they use at both Brighton and Brentford for those clubs to have made a more positive impact in terms of their Premier League presence than I think most people ever anticipated. And that comes down to having a long-term strategy, having a philosophy, having everybody rowing in the same direction of the club. And once those factions, or once divisions within a football club start to take place, then you tend to underperform. So it comes down to people, relationships, networking, respecting each other at work, you know, in terms of having faith in the people making the decisions. And that's actually very scarce in football, because what tends to happen is panic buttons get pressed very, very quickly. In respect to Watford, that panic button historically has been in terms of whom the first team coach has been. You can't. It's very difficult to build a philosophy at a club where you've got a rotating door policy. So I think there would have to be a change of philosophy and strategy and culture at the club for the club to effectively punch above its weight. Whereas I think you're absolutely right. You know, around about 30th in the pyramid intuitively feels about right, but you need to be, you know, in the top 25 in order to get, you know, to be regulars in the Premier League.
So cause for a little bit of cautious optimism then, if we can be smart at the top. Kieran, thank you so much for your time. I think that's helped assuage certainly a few of my immediate concerns. Like I said, some of those numbers can be pretty scary, but I think you've managed to contextualise it really nicely for me and the listeners. So on behalf of myself and fellow Watford supporters, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the invite, and enjoy the rest of the season.
We're the Orns, you're the Orns. Come on, you Orns!
So, Mike, how Arthur, you know, it seemed you were not so necessarily in a happy place, but definitely a happier place after having spoken through those finances with Kieran. Am I right in that?
First and foremost, what I thought was fascinating was with the terms in which Kieran spoke about João Pedro. He was convinced that he's going to leave this summer, such as his quality. So it's interesting to speak to a Brighton fan who's watching him firsthand. And we would look at Brighton and think, well, they're in the upper echelons of the Premier League, doing well in Europe, and they're already resigned to losing João Pedro. So that I wasn't personally quite as aware of how stellar the Brighton fans think he is. So that was good. But yeah, the crux of the matter really was was the finances. And what I really enjoy about talking to and hearing from Kieran is just he's very calm and very measured. So that's something that we as football supporters aren't very good at sometimes.
Not when it's our football club. It's that I think that's what I was finding hard when we tried to record it on the weekend. It's too close to us, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think I certainly fall into the trap of probably worrying too much because, as I mentioned to Kieran, it's Watford Football Club is something that I'm incredibly invested in. A lot of time, a lot of emotional energy, and ultimately I love the football club and I desperately want it to be okay and I want everything to be all right. And I think part of that sometimes is I go looking for stuff that might not be okay and then worrying about it. But what Kieran's able to do is talk through these facts and figures and these numbers and these alarming sort of percentage rises and drops and contextualise it with a very, very calm, dispassionate view, which is ultimately that's what numbers are. They don't answer to anyone. They're just numbers. They are what they are. And you have to understand them and deal with them. And I think that's what Kieran was able to do, put things into context against Premier League teams and other teams that are in around Watford at the moment, so Championship clubs. So just able to contextualise what it is we're looking at here. I think what I would say, and this is something that I did say after the game on Saturday to you, Jason and Dave, was there's a wider issue, and that's not to be spoken about now, but that football finances are absolutely insane. That the amounts of losses that are accrued and are seen as, everyone's the same as that. Everyone's round about £500,000 a week. That's about the norm for the Championship. It's bonkers. And I think there's a much wider, bigger issue about football and how it's run. There's no way that should be the case. You shouldn't be having to lose incredible amounts of money in order just to be competitive. And I think that starts at the top with Manchester City and Chelsea before them have ultimately poisoned the well in terms of they've heightened the levels at which you need to compete at financially to be competitive on a sporting basis. And that's trickled its way all the way down. It's into the Championship. There's clubs overspending in the National League now because they want to get into the league. And then if you go up the league, you've got the hint of the chance of a lucky hit of getting into the Premier League and the Golden Goose. And I think it's that's something that as football supporters we sort of just take for granted, that all this money is sloshing around and we lose this and we lose that, but it's fine because everyone does it. It's not fine, really, and I don't think ultimately in the long term it's sustainable.
No, if you've watched Welcome to Wrexham series, you really see on a couple of occasions they sort of show how much money they were Ryan Reynolds, that is the Hollywood movie star.
Good that you're on first name terms with him, John.
Big Ryan, Big Ryan. I watched the Super Bowl last night, and I went. The way that you sort of see their finances and what they're doing, what advantages that they have, that their stardom is able to put into this football club. That's just a very unique situation, but still the stark finances they have to go through is remarkable. And if you do have a massive interest in this sort of stuff, it's really important, not really important, but you should listen to The Price of Football as sort of an ongoing story of seeing how things are running. And I think the most fascinating thing for me over the last couple of weeks with football finance is how little was spent in the January transfer window. And now I know they don't spend as much in January as they do in the summer, but the fact that Everton getting that points deduction, the threat of other ones very, very nearby, that I think has put the bejesus up some of those Premier League clubs. And I'm not saying it's going to, but I think that it could easily just turn that tide a little bit more. And hopefully it will balance itself out. But the length of contracts that footballers have is probably the thing that's going to delay it or cause some clubs massive issues.
We'll see. I think one of the interesting things that Kieran said was that that potential owners see, it almost as it's just the cost of doing it, of losing a couple of million quid a month. that's just the cost, and that's the associated cost of the that's the price to pay, the literal price to pay for having the fun of running a football club. And that just kind of shows that the allure of football, and whether that will ever change, the sort of the reflected glamour and excitement of being involved, is worth it to some people. So quite how quickly we'll see the change, I think you're right, John. I think there is obviously a slight change in the wind, if you like, in the direction of travel. There's people that's like, oh, okay, we're going to need to start changing, because, as you say, there've been some high profile cases. But anyway, but this was mainly about Watford, and there's some key takeaways that I thought, and it was, I think it helped crystallise a few things for me, because, as you say, I do worry. I think one of the really interesting things is I wanted to drill down into what the profile of someone who might be able to take over Watford, or might be interested in taking over Watford, would have to have or would have to look like. And ultimately, that, as Kieran sort of, I think, agreed, was that they're going to have a minimum amount of money to take over the club, to pay back that debt that is due to Gino. And they are going to have to take on the ongoing losses. Now, obviously, what we need to be aware of is that this is last year's account, so this year's losses will be different, and the year after that will be different. But someone who it does drill home that anyone taking over the football club, whether it's an individual or an organisation or a hedge fund or whatever, is going to have to be well resourced, A, to buy the club, because there is a cost there, and then to cover those losses, because where Watford are at the moment, the income is only going to go down, and that's fine. I think anyone potentially taking over will be coming into it with their eyes open. They will know the financial profile of a Championship football club. There's a lot of talk about a takeover and a desire for a takeover, and I think that's, we're all on board with that. I think it feels like, as I said to Kieran, the Pozzo era is one way or another coming to an end, but it's going to cost someone some serious cash. And they need to go into it with their eyes wide open, which is that this is a loss-making football club with a diminishing way of meeting those costs.
Well, maybe their eyes wide open, or their egos on full.
Yeah, exactly.
I think really what they need to be.
But I think the thing that Kieran, and obviously this makes sense, but hearing it from a financial expert, you don't really need to be a financial expert. You need, it's going back to looking at things dispassionately, is that £500,000 a week loss isn't staying constant. It is going down. We can see that this year the playing staff is different to what it was last year, which these accounts pertain to. So that loss will be slightly less, and you'd hope it'll be slightly less again next year. So that line is going down. Kieran did mention that he could see, looking at the accounts, there is he can see where fat can be trimmed in terms of saving money. And so I don't think he was immediately concerned, with one big caveat, and that is that if Watford stay where they are in terms of where they are in the league ladder, and this doesn't come as a surprise to anyone, in the Premier League you're sustainable at a certain level, in the Championship you're sustainable at a level minus whatever. So if Watford stay where they are, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to go bust. It just means they need to be smart in the way they operate. Now, and I guess the slight concern I had about what that was, is Gino interested in that, or does he just want out? That's what remains to be seen, I think, is can Watford, can the owner, whoever that is, be smart enough to make sure that Watford are run sustainably?
I think the biggest thing for me that I felt that he said is sort of what we were talking about in the last year. You know, the fact that we wanted to speak to Gino, we were fascinated and wanted to understand the culture of this football club. And truly success only of clubs our level, and I'm going to put Brighton and Brentford, which he does mention, yes, they have got a big bankroll behind them, but they've turned themselves into clubs that don't necessarily need it, because it's smart, but also it's smart with a filter. It's smart with a culture and a way and a vision. And you can't really be smart unless you know how you're going to do it, the style you're going to do it, the model you're going to do it by. And that is the most important thing that we don't necessarily have at the moment. And I go back to not feeling that way, and that's why we asked to speak to Gino. I definitely didn't feel it after we'd spoken to him. But that is the true, that's the only thing that's going to get it, you know, get you up and get you driving forward, when everybody from the owner down to the playing staff and all the staff, they have their something to get behind. And at the moment, that there clearly isn't one.
Yeah. I mean, there's two big questions. Will someone take over this football club with the finances the way they are? Kieran alluded to the pull of Watford. It's a London, it's in the London orbit, isn't it? It's got a good recent history. There is a little bit of je ne sais quoi with Elton and so on and so forth. And there is that reflective glow of relatively recent times in the Premier League. So can Watford be taken over with this set of accounts, with the club in this sort of financial state? That's a question that Kieran's unable to answer, but he wasn't shying away from it, saying, look, no one's going to touch it with a barge pole, which is, I guess, hopeful. And the other thing, which you were talking about there, John, is whilst Gino and his team are the custodians and the owners of the club, are they able to operate in a smart way? And what that means would be to, I was going to say refine, but actually it's redefine the way they do things, isn't it? They're going to have to be a lot better at what they've done previously to keep Watford on an even keel. What came out of the chat with Kieran is that is by no means not impossible. It's not impossible. We don't need to panic. But what we do need to be is all the things that you've spoken about there, John, which is, and again, I think you were questioning it. Are they able to do that? It's about being inward looking, working out what's worked well before, recognising what hasn't worked well before, and trying to do it sensibly. And the two massive questions there: can we be bought out or taken over? A subset of that: can we attract investment? If not, can they ultimately change their ways and run the club sensibly and smart in a smart way to keep us at least at this level, clinging on perhaps potentially to looking upwards? And part of that is Lou Orne's posted a great graphic the other day about the strikers, for example, since we sold Odi Ighalo, and we haven't spent a lot of money, but in terms of transfer fees, we'll have spent a bit in terms of contracts and paying up contracts and so on and so forth. But we've had a number of strikers since 2017, as you might hope. How many of them have been a success? I can leave that hanging. Not many, really. And if you use that as a sort of example of them not being smart, then there are obviously things to worry about. Overall, I think speaking to Kieran was helpful. It was a balm. It was a soothing experience. It was a don't panic, but don't lose sight of what needs to happen for this not to be a problem. And I guess that's the same in any business. If you sleep on your accounts, if you sleep on the future, if you're not aiming at being smart and clever and always looking at how you do things, then things are going to go wrong. The big question, almost the $64 million question, is whether these guys can do it. And I think we just need to keep an eye on it the best we can, try to understand it the best we can, engage with people like Kieran who can help, and just try to understand it and see what happens. Plenty of questions, as always, with Watford moving forward. But if there weren't questions, John, what would we talk about on the podcast?
Exactly. Thank you so much to Kieran for his time. Remember, the podcast is called The Price of Football. Do give it a search wherever you're listening to this podcast on. And thank you very much for doing that. I think it was healthy for you. I think it was healthy for your loved ones at home. But we're back with another podcast very soon from the Rookery, and definitely the weekend. And we never know. We might have a little chat after the Norwich game. Let's see how it goes. Come on, you horns!